नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनी नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री जगदादर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम दी eighth chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the chapter is titled as Krishna showing the universal form within the mouth, within his mouth to Mother Yashoda. Of course, this is the second showing. So for now, we discussed day before yesterday about Krishna's Namakaran ceremony being performed by Gargacharya, Krishna and Balram's Namakaran ceremony, and then we had elaborate discussions on that. And then we started discussing about Krishna's crawling pastimes. Okay. So, after a short time, Krishna and Balram began to crawl in Braja and enjoy their childhood play. Krishna and Balram used to crawl in the mud of Braja and, they used to, along with cow dung and cow urine, you know, their body used to be smeared with all of that. And they were very pleased by the sound of the ankle bells and would follow the ladies with the ankle bells, thinking that they were their own mothers. But then suddenly when they would look at their face and realize that they were not their mothers, they would become very afraid and they will very quickly crawl back to their own mothers. And dressed in mud, which was mixed with cow dung and urine, the babies looked very beautiful. Mother Yashoda and Rohini would pick them up and feed them milk. And upon seeing their smiling small teeth, they would become very, very happy. Mugdha smita alpadashanam nirikshya pramodam yayatuhu. Looking at their small teeth, smiling teeth, they used to become very, very pleased. Okay, this is where we ended our discussion day before yesterday. So now let us continue our discussion further. Okay, so further, Shukadeva Goswami continues this narration. यर्ह्यङ्गणादर्शनीयकुमारलीला अन्तर्व्रजे तदबला प्रगृहीत पुच्छैः वत्सैरितस्तत उभाव अनुकृष्यमाणौ प्रेक्षन्त्य उज्झित गृहा जहृषुर्हसन्त्यः। अन्तर्व्रजे विदिन दि हाउस ऑफ नंद महाराज तद अबलाः दोस कौहर्ड लेडीज अंगना दर्शनीय कुमार लीलाव दे वुड एंजॉय सीइंग द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ द बेबीज राम एंड कृष्ण वत्सैर प्रगृहीत पुच्छैः द बेबीज वुड कैच द एंड्स ऑफ द काव्स टेल्स इतस्ततस् उभाव अनुकृष्यमानौ एंड द काव्स वुड ड्रैग देम हियर एंड देयर एंड बिकॉज व्रजस मड वॉज वेरी वेरी सॉफ्ट practically it was like a very smooth one, you know, it's not like there were sharp stones and other things like that. It was a very smooth surface with mud, soft mud and cow dung, cow urine, etc. So basically when they would catch hold of the tail of the calves, they would get very afraid and they would start running and the babies would become even more afraid, so they would catch hold of the calves much more powerfully and then the calves would become even more afraid and they would run even more faster like that. And in this way they would get a free ride. The calves would be dragging them around the Goshala of Nanda Maharaj. Prekshantya. And when the gopis used to watch this, Ujjita Griha, they would stop all their household activities, Jahrushur Hasantyaha, and they laughed and enjoyed these incidents. In Nanda Maharaj's house, the gopis would enjoy watching Krishna and Balram catching hold of calves' tails and being dragged around. They would stop all their household duties and would enjoy these pastimes. Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur says, as Krishna and Balram grew in size and beauty, they performed their childhood pastimes, Kumara Leela. They became very attractive to all the ladies. Angana Darshaniya. So Angana Darshaniya means being very attractive to all ladies. Darshaniya means very attractive. Angana means the ladies. So the woman of Vraja became blissful upon seeing the boys enjoying their pastimes. What pranks did the divine brothers perform? What kind of pranks? Sometimes Krishna and Balram would grab the tails of the calves lying on the ground. You know, when the calves were sitting on the ground, they would go and catch hold of the tails. Startled, the calves would jump up and run away while dragging the boys along the ground behind them. Instead of letting go, the boys would clutch their tails even more tightly out of fear and begin crying. So, you know, because they wouldn't know what to do, right? The gopis would laugh and say to the boys, "You are weaker than these small calves, still taking milk from the udder." Like that, they would make fun of them. Then they would free their hands from the calf's tails because they didn't know that all they had to do is to give up the tails, but they would start holding them even more tightly, and the calves would become even more afraid. They would run even more faster, and they would start crying, you know, not knowing what to do, like that. Okay, then. शृङ्ग्यग्निदंष्ट्रसि जलद्विजकण्टकेभ्य क्रीडापरावति चलौ स्वसुतौ निषेद्धुम् गृह्याणि कर्तुमपि यत्र न तज्जनन्यौ शेकात आपतरुलम् मनसोऽनवस्ताम् यत्र तज्जनन्यौ. When their mothers, Yashoda and Rohini, na shekata apatur alam, were unable to protect. When they were unable to protect, krida parav atichalau swasutau. When they were unable to protect their babies, who were krida parav, always interested only in playing, atichalau, and were very restless. They were moving here and there. Shringi. Shringi means, Shringa means horns. Shringi means animals with horns, like the cows. Agni, they would run to the fire. Damshtri, animals with had teeth, such as monkeys. Asi. Asi means swords. Jala. means water, dvijakantakebhyah, you know, and kantakebhyah is taunts and other weapons on the ground. Okay, that is asi. And jala is water. Manaso anvatastam. They were always in anxiety. Na grihyani api kartum. And they could not carry out their household duties at all. And Srila Prabhupada writes the purport here in the translation only. Okay. In the translation only, he writes the purport. At that time, they were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of material affection, for this was aroused within their minds. So even though it is mentioned here, manaso anvatastam, they were always in anxiety. Their mind was not stable. Now, even to practice basic sadhana, one needs a stable mind. So, if someone's mind is unstable, even basic sadhana practicing becomes very difficult. But here, it is mentioned that, you know, mothers Rohini and Yashoda, their mind was very unsteady. So one may wonder, oh, these are supposed to be perfected devotees. How could they have unsteady mind, which is a basic requisite even for practicing sadhana? One may think like that. But here it is clarified that actually they were fully equipoised. See the choice of words. They were fully equipoised in the transcendental ecstasy known as the distress of material affection. Actually, I think it should be maternal affection, not material affection. Because this must have been translated by, you know, transcribed by someone else from Prabhupada's tapes. And Prabhupada was, you know, lying down extremely weak. So probably the words were not very clear. But I have a strong feeling it must be maternal affection, because it is talking about Mother Yashoda's affection, Mother Yashoda and Rohini's affection towards Krishna. So therefore, maternal sounds very correct. And how can he say transcendental ecstasy known as material affection, which sounds very awkward together actually? So how can transcendental ecstasy be born out of material affection? And how is it possible that Mother Yashoda and Rohini had material affection towards Krishna? So I think it should be maternal affection, for this was aroused within their minds. This is my understanding on this. So Mother Yashoda and Rohini were always in anxiety. To protect their restless boys from, you know, horned cows, fire, monkeys, knives, etc. So their household engagements were disturbed, were disturbed due to this anxiety. Okay. So here it is mentioned, Krishna and Balram were very naughty, ati chalau, very restless and naughty. And Because they wanted to play with the horned creatures, Shringi, like bulls, creatures with sharp teeth, like the dogs, fire, knives, and birds, Dvija. So Dvija refers to the birds. The mothers could not properly perform their household duties. Thus, their minds became disturbed. So now, this is the explanation by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, which Srila Prabhupada mentions in his own purport. This is a sanchari bhava that nourished the vatsalya rasa, motherly love of the elderly gopis. Okay. So this extreme disturbance of mind due to concern for their children. This is a sanchari bhava or a transient emotion which nourishes the vatsalya rasa. It is natural. Constantly the mothers being concerned about their naughty child, what they will do, what, where they will run, what they will touch. So this kind of extreme debilitating anxiety, anxiety which is debilitating even performance of ordinary household chores, is actually characteristic of Sanchari bhava, transient emotions, which nourishes the vatsalya rasa. Otherwise, carelessness about, okay, what will happen to the child, if people are very careless, not in anxiety, if the mother, then that is not a symptom of vatsalya rasa. Then vatsalya is not very strong. The stronger the vatsalya, the more is the anxiety. And it's a transient emotion. It's not that they are always in anxiety. Transient emotion means it comes, it enhances the vatsalya, and then it leaves. So transient means it is not persistent. It's not that they were always in anxiety. Like for example, when Krishna and Balram were taking rest, they were happily watching Krishna and Balram and joyous without any anxiety. Right? So, but at some times when they were out and there was always a danger of, they're going and catching hold of the horn of a cow or horn of a bull or going and catching hold of some dogs which had some sharp canine teeth and all that. At that time, they were always in anxiety, and it is natural. Okay. But that is called as Sanchari Bhava. So even though this kind of debilitating anxiety is very, very unfavorable for practicing sadhana bhakti, and which is generally born out of the lower modes of rajas generally, or sometimes tamas, constant worry or constant anxiety is very detrimental for sadhana bhakti. But when similar looking anxiety is seen in perfected devotees like Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini, our acharyas explain, oh, this is Sanchari Bhava. This is Sanchari Bhava which nourishes the Vatsalya Rasa, transient emotion, like that. Okay. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions? I think we are not discussing much philosophy here. It's just pastimes. So, but still, if there is something that needs to be discussed, we will discuss. Okay. If there is none, let's continue our discussion. Okay. Then he continues. Just give me 1 second. I have to adjust something. Just give me just 1 second. ओके, लेट्स कंटिन्यू. तो देन श्रील शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेज, कालेनाल्पेन राजर्षे रामकृष्णश्च गोकुले अघृष्टजानुभिर्पद्भिर्विचक्रमतुरञ्जसा ओ राजर्षे ओ राजर्षि परिष्कृत, अल्पेन कालेन विदिन अ शॉर्ट ड्यूरेशन ऑफ टाइम रामः कृष्णश्च बोथ बलराम एंड कृष्ण विचक्रमतुरञ्जसा दे बिगैन टू वॉक वेरी इजीली. टिल देन दे वेर क्रॉलिंग. After some time, they started walking. Gokule, in Gokula. Agrishta Janubihi Padbihi. On their legs, by their own strength, without the need to crawl. Agrishta Janubihi Padbihi. Where there was no need to drag their body around by crawling, they could walk on their feet. So after a short while, both of them began to walk. Okay. So without scraping their knees on the ground, agrishta janubihi. Grishta means to, keep pulling their knees during their crawling. Agrishta. There was no need to pull their knees on the ground. Agrishta Janubihi. Krishna and Balram effortlessly began to walk in Gokula. Anjasa. The words Anjasa is sometimes substituted with the word Ojasa, which means boldly. They started walking. In other words, Krishna and Balram stopped crawling and started walking boldly around Gokula. Tatastu Bhagavan Krishno Vayasyair Vrajabalakaihi Saharamo Vrajastrinam Chikride Janayan Mudam Tata. Thereafter, Bhagavan Krishna, Lord Krishna, Saharamo, along with Balramji, Chikride, he began to play Vayasyair Vrajabalakaihi with the other children of the cowherd men. Rajastrinam Janayan Mudam. So this gave an opportunity for the other ladies of Vraja to more often see Krishna Balram. So they became much more happy. Thereafter, Krishna and Balram began to play with other children and thus the gopis became blissful. In the pastimes of stealing butter, Krishna was the predominant figure. Therefore, in this verse, Krishna is described as Saharamo along with Balram. So, because Krishna was the predominant figure and only Krishna's activities will be predominantly described, therefore the word Saharamo along with Balramji is mentioned in order to indicate that even though sometimes only Krishna's name might be mentioned, but one should understand that Balramji was also there. कृष्णस्य गोप्यो रुचिरं वीक्ष कौमार चापलं श्रण्वन्त्याः किल तन्मातुर् इति होचुः समागताः. वीक्ष कृष्णस्य रुचिरं कौमार चापलं. वीक्ष सीइंग कृष्णस्य बिलोंगिंग टू कृष्ण रुचिरं वेरी ब्यूटिफुल अट्रैक्टिव कौमार चापलं रेस्टलेस चाइल्डिशनेस. गोप्यः द गोपीस Shrinvantyaha Akila, and hearing again and hearing about that, Tan Matur Samagataha, they would congregate in the house of Mother Yashoda, iti hochuhu, and they would speak to her as follows. Observing Krishna's attractive, restless childhood pastimes, with a desire to hear about Krishna Leela again and again, the gopis would approach Mother Yashoda and speak as follows. They would speak as follows. Seeing the naughty pastimes of Krishna and enjoying them very much, the gopis in the neighborhood would approach Yashoda and tell her what they saw. Because, you know, you like something, you start speaking about it. And then by that you enjoy. So when they would gather in Yashoda's house, Yashoda would stop her many household chores and listen to the activities of her child. On the pretext of reprimanding her for not controlling her restless son, the gopis would give great joy to Mother Yashoda. So they would come, you know, and they would speak as if they were reprimanding Mother Yashoda. You know what your son did? You know, you should be controlling him. What is this? Like that. And you know what he did it at our place? No, no, no. You know what he did at our place? You know, like that. You know, they used to complain. But everything was a pretext. You know, this was just a bahana. You know, they just wanted an excuse to speak about Krishna. And Mother Yashoda was very joyful hearing all of that. Right? There is no malice in Vrindavan. There is no malice in Vrindavan. There is chastisement. There is criticism. But that is all for the pleasure of Krishna, which is not conducted with any kind of malice. No one has. So if Mother Yashoda says, okay, okay, I will not let him go anywhere outside, the gopis would be completely devastated. They just want an excuse, you know. You like something, you want to speak about it, keep speaking about it again and again and again and again. You know, like that. So they were, the gopis used to tell Mother Yashoda. Vatsan munchan kvachida samaye krosha sanjataha saha steyam svadvatyata dadipaya kalpitai steya yogaihi markan bokshan vibhajati sachen nati bhandam vinati dravyalabe sagriha kupito yatyupakroshyato kan. They used to say, our dear friend Yashoda, your son sometimes come to our houses, kvachid, asamaye, before the milking of the cows, vatsan munchan, and he would release the cows. Krosha sanjata hasaha, and when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Asamaye vatsan munchan. So what the cowherds used to do, they used to bring the calves and allow the calves to drink little milk so that, you know, they can take the rest of the milk for their own consumption and for their own business. They were Vaishyas. But, and there is a time during the day when that milking happens. But asamaye, but before time, Krishna would go to their house. Vatsan munchan, He would release the calves. And what the calves will do? They will go and drink all the milk. So the calves don't know how much to drink. They will drink all the milk. So when the cowherd boy comes, practically there will be no milk in the udders. So, and then Krosha Sanjata, and then the master of the house will become angry. And what will Krishna do? Hasaha, he would just smile. So then, Kalpitaihi Steya Yogaihi. Kalpitaihi, he would sometimes devise Steya, means to, Steya Yoga means to steal. Some stealing plan, Teyam Swadu Dadipayaha, where by which he could steal very tasty curd and milk. Dadi is curd, payaha is milk. Ata Ati, and then he would eat and drink that milk and curd. Markan Bokshan Vivajati, after he would eat and drink, he would divide it, vibhajati. He would divide it, markan, you know, to the monkeys and give it to them. Sached na atti bhandam binatti. And when everyone is satisfied, even the monkeys' bellies are full and they don't wish to eat anymore, he would just put it down, you know, put the parts down and break the parts. Dravya alabe, and sometimes he would not, when he would not get, you know, anything that he wants in a particular house, sa griha kupito, he would become very angry at those, the owners of that house, yati upakroshya tokan. Krishna would get so angry that he would go and pinch the small children and make them cry. And when they would start crying, Krishna would run away. These kind of things. So they used to complain. Oh, Yashoda. He releases the calves before milking time. And when the owner becomes angry, he smiles. He steals butter, curd, etc., eats, then distributes it to monkeys. And then breaks the pots. And when there is no opportunity to steal, he pinches the children and runs away. Like that they would complain to Mother Yashoda. The gopis said, Mother Yashoda, just hear about your son's mischievous deeds just before dawn. Your restless son walks around the neighborhood looking for an opportunity to steal some yogurt. Before the milking time, he releases the calves and they proceed to drink all their mother's milk. When everyone runs hither thither to catch the calves, Krishna stealthily enters their houses, steals the yogurt and runs away. One day, when the yogurt thief came, we shouted, "Beat him! Tie him up!" But he smiled ever so sweetly. You know, one day when he came, he told him, okay, beat him up, tie him up, you know, like that. And what he did, he started smiling. And we got so smitten by his intoxicating smile that we forgot everything. You know, we forgot that we had to catch him and bind him and beat him. Nothing happened. We were so mesmerized by his smile that with ropes in our hands, we didn't know what to do. Stunned, we just watched him do his dirty work without responding. So he just smiled and froze all the Vrajavasis. So while all of them were standing around, Krishna was just stealing the butter and eating and distributing it to the monkeys. And they were so stunned that they didn't know what to do. Sitting calmly, he ate our milk and butter without even running away, while we stood by totally bewildered. We were just watching. We were completely mesmerized. We wanted to catch him, but we could not. And as if Krishna knew all of this, he very peacefully sat there, you know, eating all that butter and curd and, you know, without even bothering to run away. Yashoda replied, "In that case, why didn't you just let him eat till his belly was full? You know, you could have just allowed him to eat till his belly was full." The gopis said, "He is always being fed by you, so he has no hunger. You always feed him so well. He has no hungry. He has no hunger at all. It is not a question of hunger," they say. "It's not a question of hunger. Actually, he has a taste for stealing. He likes to steal milk and yogurt. He does not like it if we give it to him." You know, sometimes, you know, even in this material world, you know, this experience is there. I don't know how many of you, I mean, those days are gone now, actually. Nowadays, people are busy with so many other different things. You know, even though at home, father may get mangoes. But the real fun is in stealing it from someone's tree and eating it. Nowadays, neither do you see trees, nor do people have interest in doing all those things. People want to just sit in their homes, watch TV or whatever. But in those days, you know, we used to have our own group of boys just, you know, whiling away time, just roaming around and climbing some trees, plucking some mangoes, you know, and, you know, falling down, hurting yourself and all those things, right? So that is actually fun. So they say that, oh, he has absolutely no taste in eating. He just wants to have the fun of stealing. And if we ourselves give it to him, he does not like it. He does not like it. And he says, being skillful at releasing the calves and at smiling, Krishna steals in two ways: beyond our sight and before our eyes. So beyond our sight, he steals by releasing the calves and making us running here and there. And when we catch him, he just smiles. He just smiles. And we are frozen. And in front of our eyes, he starts stealing. He is very skillful in two things: releasing the calves and smiling. And both of these are his techniques to steal. Okay. Using his intelligence, he finds different ways to steal. One day, even before eating the yogurt himself, he distributed it to the monkeys. He didn't eat. He came to steal and he didn't want to eat. He was not at all hungry. He just distributed it to the monkeys. And when all the monkeys had taken their fill and could eat no more, Krishna thought, without you, what is the use of my eating? So I will not eat. So first he fed all the monkeys. And when the monkeys had their bellies full and they didn't want to eat any further, and he said, so you guys are not going to give me company now? So without your company, where is the fun in eating? So he would become angry. Then in anger, he broke the yogurt pots. When he enters a house and does not find any yogurt, he becomes angry at the occupants and says, stay here. I will come back tomorrow morning with a flaming torch in my hand. If you don't give me some yogurt, I will burn down your house along with your relatives and children. You know, like that Krishna used to speak. You know, if there was nothing in the householders, either they didn't have anything or they told, okay, today let's see what Krishna steals. We will have no milk, no yogurt, no butter, nothing at home. Let's see what he steals from our house today. So Krishna would become angry and he would tell them that stay here. I will come back tomorrow morning with a flaming torch in my hand. And if you don't give me some yogurt, I will burn down your house along with my, along with your relatives and children. And after saying that, Krishna makes the small children cry by scratching them with his nails. You know, the small children, you know, who would be lying down, lying in some cradle, he would go and pinch them or scratch them with his nails and they would start crying and then he would run away. Like that. Okay. Okay. हस्ताग्राह्ये रचयति विधिम् पीठकोलूकलाद्यैश्चिद्रं ह्यन्तर्निहितवयुनः शिक्यभाण्डेषु तद्वित् द्वान्तागारे धृतमणिगणं स्वाङ्गमर्थप्रपीदं प्रदीपं काले गोप्यो यर्हि गृहकृत्येषु कृत्येषु सुव्यग्रचित्ताः Shikya Bhandeshu, when the milk and curd are kept high on a swing hanging from the ceiling. Bhanda is pot. Shikya means, you know, sometimes, you know, they are hung from the ceiling, you know, using some ropes. Shikya Bhandeshu, Hasta Agrahye, so that it is not at a height where the children can reach out and pick it. Okay, sometimes the gopis would do such a thing. They would keep it out of reach, out of reach of the boys by hanging it from the ceiling. Rachayati vidim, at that time they would arrange some means to reach it. What they would do? Pitaka ulukala adyaihi. They would put a ulukal, ukal, you know, a grinding mortar, and on top of that pitaka. Pitaka means, you know, some planks and some stools like that. They would put one on top of the other and try to climb and reach it. Antar nihita vayunaha. Vayunaha is knowledge. Antar nihita vayunaha. Knowing fully well what is there inside the pot. I think probably, you know, such people, just like if you want to go to the seller of a coconut, you tell him, you please select the right coconut for me. And then he will take two coconuts, hit it against each other and hear the sound. From that, he can tell whether it's a good coconut or a bad coconut. He will know whether it is spoiled from inside or, you know, not spoiled or anything like that. You know, he can judge the quality. Or if you go to purchase a pot, you know, the pot seller can knock the pot and tell whether if there is any crack somewhere or not. He need not see the crack. Just by just by the sound he can tell the quality of the pot. So similarly, these are Vaishya children, you know. Krishi Goraksha Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Swabhavajam, you know. It is the nature of Vaishyas. They know, they learn the trade secrets right from when they are small children. So they can't reach out the pot, you know, even though Shikya Bhandeshu, you know, it is very firmly, you know, tied with ropes from the ceiling. Even after reaching the pot, they can't actually pick the pot out. So they know. Just by knocking at the pot, they can tell what is there inside. Is it butter? Is it buttermilk? Is it milk? Is it curd? What is it? You know, just by knocking at the pots, antar nihita vayunaha. They have the knowledge of what is there inside the pot just by, and they didn't have to, you know, because it was impossible for them to reach to the top of the pot and then just check. They could at the most reach the bottom of the pot. They knew what was there inside. Okay, what they would do? Chidram hitadvit. Knowing this, they would poke holes. They would break the pot from the bottom only. They would pick holes in it and drink it. Yarhi gopyaha grihakrityeshu kale su vyagrachittaha. While the elderly gopis would be completely absorbed in their household activities, dvanta agare. They would sometimes go inside a dark room, drita maniganam sva angam artha pradipam. Brightening the place with the valuable jewels and ornaments on their body. Drita maniganam, you know, they are wearing a lot of valuable jewels. Sva angam in their body. Artha pradipam. They would brighten that room with their jewels, you know, which were very valuable. And by taking advantage of this light, they would engage in stealing. So, sometimes the gopis used to keep that in a very dark room so that Krishna and Balram would not be able to see it, because only if light is there. And in those days, it's not like you have like tube lights and everything, right? So if it is dark room, no one can see what is there inside. So what they would do, because they were wearing such valuable jewels, which had an effulgence of their own, they would enter the room with their body, you know, filled with so many jewels. And from the effulgence coming out of those jewels, they would try to spot where those pots were there, and they would go and steal from there. So when pots were hung from the ceiling, they would put mortars and planks and climb and poke holes and drink the content in the contents. Okay. And if pots were kept in dark rooms, they would brighten the rooms with their jewels and steal the contents. So the gopis continue narrating this to Mother Yashoda. So another gopi said, you know what? Another day, he entered a house where the yogurt pot was beyond reach. So he devised a method to get it. Sometimes he piles up chairs, climbs atop a grinding mortar or the shoulders of a friend. Just by seeing the exterior of a pot hanging from the ceiling on a string, he knows its contents. The way it is bound, he can tell looking at it what is there. Antar nihita vayuna. He knows what is there within that pot. If he cannot loot the pot, he makes a hole in it with a pole having a sharp iron point. You know, probably they used to carry this pole with a sharp iron point. You know, just poke a hole and then the content starts, you know, coming out. He is very learned in all this work, tadvit. How to put a hole in the pot, how to make the yogurt pour out, and how to open the mouths of the boys so that they can take their fill. You know, tadvit. Krishna is an expert in all these things. Poking holes without even, you know, seeing inside, knowing what is there inside the pot, how to poke the hole, when the boys should open their mouth. These kind of things he knows very well. He says, even a dark storeroom is no obstacle for Krishna and his friends. The brilliant jewels on their bodies acts as lamps to brighten the room. He knows all the tricks of the trade. Mother Yashoda says, why aren't you more careful? You people know that this is what he will do. Why can't you be more careful? You are also Vaishya woman. Right? You must know these tricks of the trades even better than Krishna. Why can't you be a little bit more careful? The gopis would say, oh, your son only comes when everyone is busily engaged in household affairs. And everyone is very busily engaged in household affairs. That is the time your son will come. Even though Krishna has already stolen our hearts with the bewitching power of his gentle smile, his baby talk, his sweet movements, and his beautiful body, still he likes to steal our yogurt on the sly. So this is what they mean. This is what is there in their heart. They don't speak this. So they say, even though Krishna has already stolen our hearts with the bewitching power of his gentle smile, his baby talk, his sweet movements and his beautiful body, still he likes to steal our yogurt on the sly. In fact, they are just this is the purpose for which all the Vrajavasis make, you know, their yogurt and butter and milk so that Krishna would come and steal. Because Krishna had already stolen their hearts with his gentle smile, with his baby talk, with his sweet movements, with his beautiful body. But still, he has stolen our heart and now he wants to steal our butter and yogurt and milk. And then they say, before stealing, Krishna sent some boys as spies to find out who is there in the gopis' homes. You know, the spies come first. They first try to find out who all are there in the house, what they are doing and everything. And accordingly, he would come and do his dirty work. Like that. Okay. Then they continue. Evam darshtyanyushati kurute mehanadini vastav teyopayair virachita kritihi supratiko yataste ittam stribir sabhayanayana shrimukhalokini bir vyakhyatartha prahasita mukhi nahi upalabdhumaichat. He says that evam dharshtyani, when Krishna is caught in his naughty activities, the master of the house will say to him, oh, you are a thief, and artificially expresses anger at Krishna. Krishna will then reply, I am not a thief. You are a thief. And he would catch him and say, oh, you are a thief. Krishna will reply, no, you are a thief. Sometimes, being angry, Krishna passes urine and stool, kurute mehanadin, in a neat, clean place, ushati vastav. So he would go and pass urine and stool in a very clean place. Steyo payer virachita kritihi yata supratikaha aste. But now, our dear friend Yashoda, this expert thief is sitting before you like a very good boy. But he does all these things. Sometimes, all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there. Shri Mukhe Alokini Be. Sa Bhaya Nayana. And his eye is fearful so that his mother would not chastise him. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful face, instead of chastising him, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Vyakyata Artha Prahasita Mukhi. And Mother Yashoda would mildly smile at all this fun. Nahi upalabdhum ichchat, and she would not want to chastise Krishna either. Na hi upalabdhum ichchat, she would not get the desire to chastise him either. Like that. These are the kind of things that would be happening there. So he says, sometimes when Krishna is caught and the master chastises him, he would chastise the master back. No, you are the thief, like that. Sometimes he would pass urine and stool in a neat place. But see, now he is sitting like a good boy. And just looking at his beautiful face, neither the gopis nor Mother Yashoda would want to chastise him. So the gopis continue. Oh Yashoda, oh famous one, you appear very blissful on hearing the pastimes of your son. You know, we are complaining to you and you seem to be very blissful hearing this. It is not only that he steals, he also passes stool and urine in the room set aside for worship and thus contaminates it. You know, we have cleaned that room so that we could worship the Lord. In that very same room, he comes and passes urine and stool. He also pulls the ladies' braids and saris, kicks them, and proposes marriage to them. You know, like that. So he pulls their braids, you know. And sometimes he pulls their saris, sometimes he kicks them, sometimes he proposes, oh, will you please marry me? Like that he asks. In the future, this son will bring you lots of wealth. Where do they say this? Teyo paye virachita kriti supratiko yataste. एवं धार्ष्ट्राणि उशति कुरुते मेहनादि निवास्तौ स्तेयोपाये विरचित कृति सुप्रतीको यथास्ते इत्थं स्त्रीभिर् स भय नयन श्री मुखा आलोकिनीभिर् ओके सो दे से He says, in the future, this son will bring you lots of wealth. How? They say what they mean is, now he is stealing yogurt, but when he grows up, he will steal others' money and wives. But now he looks very innocent in front of you. Supratikaha. Look how innocently he is looking. But he will bring you a lot of wealth because he is an expert thief. Now he is stealing yogurt. When he grows up, he will steal other people's money and he will steal other people's wives. Now, what is the result of this loving criticism of the gopis? What is the result of this? Thinking Yashoda might beat him, Krishna showed fear in his eyes and his beautiful face trembled. After all this complaining is happening while Krishna is sitting there. Now Krishna becomes fearful that Mother Yashoda may chastise him or beat him. So he showed fear in his eyes. He became actually fearful. And his face started to tremble. The gopis could not help but look at Krishna's charming face. Everything was told to Yashoda, who had become blissful on seeing Krishna's face, which was illuminated with different emotions. And by hearing about his wonderful pranks. So hearing about this, they were all enjoying. And then looking at Krishna's beautiful face, which was filled with so many emotions, you know, at one time fear, at one time innocence, you know, like that, looking at these emotions, you know, they were completely blissful. Yashoda simply beamed a wide smile, Prahasita Mukha, but she harbored no desire to scold her son. She had no desire to scold her son. So, Mother Yashoda thought, let the gopis drown in bliss by my son's mischief-making. And when such incidents are reported to me, let these stories drown me in bliss too. So now the question is, there is so many things. And this is something amazing. Just think about Here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, even though not explicitly stated here, this mood should be understood. So, what is spoken by the gopis to Mother Yashoda or as stated by Shukadeva Goswami here is very little. Someone going and stealing butter. And acharyas like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, and all, even for some serious Siddhanta, they write such small purports. They elaborate, but they don't elaborate for all the verses. You know, they just give some shabdartha. Oh, this is the meaning of this word, this is the meaning of this word. Okay, done. The purport is over. It is more like word-to-word meaning than actually a commentary. Sometimes, if there is a very serious Siddhanta, they explain it. But here, there is no philosophical discussion here. Krishna is going and stealing butter. There is very little that is mentioned. But they are writing so much about it, explaining it, even though nothing on, most of it is not very explicitly mentioned. How? Because they are Manjaris. They are participants of this Leela. They have this Leela's Spurti. and they know where to comment upon to create what kind of effect in the readers. So here Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is telling, even though not explicitly stated here, this mood should be understood. Yashoda thought, let the gopis drown in bliss by my son's mischief making, and when such incidents are reported to me, let these stories drown me in bliss too. Like that she was thinking. Yes, 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 you know. She was thinking in this way and she was smiling. The verse itself says that she smiled, that's all. But there is such a serious meaning to that smile. How does Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur know? Leela Spurti. He is not imagining this. He is not allowing his poetic imagination to, you know, actually, you know, write all this poetic stuff. This is actually revealed to him. This Leela is revealed to him by the Supreme Lord. Leela Spurti. It is not ordinary. We cannot do it. We cannot do it because the Lord does not reveal such things to ordinary devotees. But still, why should this be revealed to us when we have access to the exact same revelation that is accessed by great acharyas like Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami or Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. When all of that we have access to, I mean, it is as good as having the revelations ourselves. All that we need is to have implicit faith in these acharyas. Yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata gurau. Tasyaiva katito hi artha prakashante mahatmanah. When we have the implicit faith that, oh, these acharyas are very exalted. They are not writing any speculative stuff here. Whatever they are writing, it is actually revealed to them by the Supreme Lord Himself. They are very exalted personalities. You know, when one has this faith, then their revelation is ours too. They don't have any copyright issues with this. Whatever Krishna revealed to me, it's yours now. Just take it. This is what Mother Yashoda was thinking. This is what the gopis were thinking when they were complaining to Mother Yashoda. This is what Krishna was thinking. Even though Parikshit Ma, even though Shukadeva Goswami did not reveal this, we are revealing it to you. We don't have any copyright for this. It's yours. Take it. All that you need is Shraddha. If you have faith, it's yours. Whatever is ours is yours. Take it. This is what the acharyas are telling. It's yours. We have no copyright issues here. Whatever Krishna has revealed to us, it's all yours. If you have faith, you take it. What Mother Yashoda was thinking, what the gopis were thinking, they are revealing much more than what Shukadeva Goswami is explicitly revealing here. This is such a great paropakar. Janma sartaka kari karo paropakar. This is the greatest paropakar. And through these insights of the acharyas, you know, even in the hardest of hard hearts, some moisture starts manifesting. And slowly even that hard heart start becoming soft. And even one day we may also develop some feelings towards Krishna. All that it needs is faith. Okay. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam tatpara samyatendriya. Jnanam labdva param shantim. Achirenadigacchati. Shraddhavan labhate jnanam. All that it needs is faith. If we have faith, we can access all these things. The only thing we have to understand is Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is not speculating here. He is actually presenting what he is seeing. He is not presenting Shabda Praman here. He is presenting Pratyaksha Praman here. Divya Pratyaksha. He is transcendentally seeing it and writing it. Krishna has given him access into the heart of Mother Yashoda, into the heart of the gopis, into the heart of Krishna. What is Krishna thinking? What is Yashoda thinking? What are the gopis thinking? They are not allowing their imagination to run wild. These commentaries are not fiction. There is no element of fiction there, absolutely nil. They are writing what they are seeing. That's it. So therefore we should not think that, you know, oh, where is it explicitly stated in the verse? So what they are writing must be some imagination, right? Favorable imagination. Imagination which is very favorable for our developing attraction for Krishna, right? No. There is no imagination involved here. Whatever they are writing is what they are seeing. Because Krishna is personally revealing it to them. This faith we should have. This is very critical. Right? Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add? Okay, let's continue then. So now, the gopis are done, or at least only that much Srila Sukadeva Goswami has revealed. Let's move on. The other pastimes also have to be narrated. Parikshit Maharaj has only 7 days, and this is already probably the fourth day or maybe the fifth day. Yes, Sri Vidya Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for this wonderful session. So just wanted to understand, like just as you said, the Acharyas revealed whatever whatever they have seen. So, but here we see, like, you know, everybody is interested in such type of pastimes. It brings, you know, sweetness, happiness to all when we hear it. But different jivas hear from different acharyas. They try to understand from different acharyas, and the revelation is also different. You know, according to the acharyas, know this one. So different sampradayas they reveal. So is it does the Lord arranges the connection, the link between the acharya and the jiva according to the jiva's taste for knowing the truth?
Okay. Actually, even though you have asked one question, but there are many questions hidden in your one question, actually. First thing, different sampradaya acharyas, or even within the same sampradaya, different acharyas present different explanations or different explanations of a particular verse. So, it is explained that Bhagavatam is like a Vaidurya stone. A Vaidurya stone is like when you look at it from one direction, it looks blue in color. From another direction, it looks red in color. From another direction, it looks yellow in color. Okay. So, what is reality? The fact is that the reality is multifaceted. Krishna and his pastimes are like Vaidurya. Bhagavatam is like Vaidurya. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashraya Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Arthakaya. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Chaitanya Bhagavata. I think Chaitanya Bhagavata. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashraya. The Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. Krishna is multifaceted, Srimad Bhagavatam is multifaceted. Prati shloke prati akshare nana arthakai. In every word or in every shloka, what to speak of every shloka? In every syllable, there are multiple meanings to it. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed 61 meanings of the Atmarama verse to Sanatana Goswami. And before that, he revealed 18 different meanings to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And when Sanatana Goswami asked, "Oh, I heard that you give 18 different meanings to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Can you please explain them to me?" He said, "Oh, I don't know what I spoke. I don't remember anything, but I will try." And then without touching those 18 meanings, he gave 61 different meanings. None of that is imagination. It is not that he is using his Sanskrit prowess, knowing the multiple meanings of each word and doing permutation, combination and making a meaning. It's not like that. Actually, the Bhagavatam is multifaceted. There are multiple layers of understanding, multiple facets of understanding. Within each facet, there are multiple layers of understanding, which is revealed to different acharyas. And they reveal it to their followers. And those facets of reality are revealed based on the mood that the practitioner is trying to cultivate. So, those who are trying to develop a mood of Aishwarya, they may not, the deeper details or some particular facets which may nourish a mood of sweetness, that may not be revealed to them because that will not nourish their mood. And certain other meanings which would nourish the mood of awe and reverence will not be revealed to the acharyas who are trying to cultivate the mood of sweetness. But of the two, which is correct? Both are correct. Prati shloke prati akshare nana arthakai. All are correct. Different facets. Krishna is absolute truth. But the absolute truth is multifaceted. There are multiple facets. It's not that one is right, one is wrong. It's not that one has to be wrong for the another thing to be right. Both can be right. This is transcendental reality. So, like that. Does it answer your question, Mataji, or do you have some more points?
Yes, Prabhuji. So even the karmis hear them, jnanis hear them. So, but they use it for a different purpose. Even for devotees, this is the goal. But for others, they use it as a mean to attain some other goal, right? So, in that case, like, how do we understand? Like, or if they keep hearing Bhagavatam, the chances of just as we have complete part of bhakti, they can attain it. The acharya has to come up.
If they hear Bhagavatam from the right source, and develop some kind of appreciation, then gradually they will accumulate that sukriti, And by that Sukriti, gradually they may also become qualified for practicing pure devotional service. So the most important thing is to hear from the right source. Because if they do not hear from the right source, then Bhagavatam can cheat them also. Because that's why Bhagavatam is also compared to Mohini Murti. If people have some ulterior motives which they want to accomplish through Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam acts like Mohini Murti to them. You know, just like Mohini Murti brought the pot of nectar and she was telling, yeah, I'm giving you, I'm giving you, I'm giving you. Just wait. I will just give a few drops to these devatas and, you know, shoo them away. And then the whole pot is for you. Like that, she cheats the demons. So similarly, Bhagavatam also can potentially cheat if someone has ulterior motives. But if they are innocent people, not with no strong philosophical predisposition, then if they are hearing from the right source, gradually their heart may become purified because of the Christ association. And if even if there is a small appreciation, even though purely for the entertainment value, not for the transcendental value, purely for the entertainment value, even if they appreciate it, but if they are hearing it from the right source, then that appreciating a pure practitioner or a devotee practicing pure devotional service will give them that Sukriti. That Sukriti will pile up, and at one stage they will also become inclined to practice pure devotional service. Like that. Is that okay, Mati?
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you very
Great. Okay. If there are no further discussion points, comments, or questions, let us continue our discussion further. Okay. Now, एकदा क्रीडमानास्ते रामाद्या गोपतारकाः कृष्णो मृदं भक्षितवान् इति मात्रे न्यवेदयन्. एकदा, वन् डे, क्रीडमाना, वेन् दे वर् प्लेयिङ्ग्, रामाद्या गोपतारकाः, अलाङ्ग् वित् बलरामजी अण्ड् दि अदर् गोपास् मात्रे न्यवेदयन्. ऑल द गोपास केम एंड रिपोर्टेड टू मदर यशोदा. कृष्णो मृदम भक्षितवान इति. कृष्णा एट मड. वन डे द गोपास एंड बलराम जी केम एंड रिपोर्टेड टू मदर यशोदा. Okay, they came and reported to Mother Yashoda that Krishna has eaten earth. Like that. The taste of maternal affection, Vatsalya Rasa, by the gopis finding fault in Krishna has been completed. So, we have now tasted Vatsalya Rasa. Okay. By the gopis finding fault, even in finding fault, they were expressing their Vatsalya. This verse presents the taste of Vismaya Rasa, astonishment, by the criticism of Krishna's friends. Vismaya, astonishment. Krishna was not scolded for stealing yogurt, but he was scolded for eating dirt. Both were incited by love. Okay. So, he stole and ate yogurt. He was not scolded for that. But now when he ate dirt, he was scolded. And that chastisement or that scolding is also born out of love. That was also born out of love. because naturally, because that anger is also a sanchari bhava. It's a transient emotion which is born out of that anxiety. Oh, what will happen if he has really eaten the dirt? What will happen is to his health, his stomach, like that. So, sa grihitva kare Krishnam upalabhya hitaishini yashoda bhaya sambhranta prekshana prekshanaksham abhashata. Sa Yashoda, Mother Yashoda, Hitaishini, who was well-wisher, Grihitva Kare Krishnam, holding Krishna's hands, Upalabhya, with a desire to look into his mouth, Bhaya Sambhranta Prekshanaksham. Bhaya, fear, Sambhranta, complete bewilderment, Prekshanartham, Prekshana Aksham. Her eyes, which are filled with bewilderment and fear, Abhashata, she spoke as follows. Upon hearing this from Krishna's playmates, Mother Yashoda, who was always full of anxiety over Krishna's welfare, picked Krishna up with her hands to look into his mouth and chastise him. Her eyes fearful, she spoke to her son as follows. She became anxious for his welfare. And she caught hold of his hands to look into his mouth. She spoke to him as follows. Yashoda held Krishna by the hand for fear that he would run away. That's why she held him. Even though Yashoda scolded him, her intention was to benefit him. Hitaishini. In this case, scolding and beating nourish the prema. They are not faults. Again, this is, sometimes, and multiple places in the commentary of the Acharyas, it is mentioned that sometimes Mother Yashoda would also want to beat Krishna, not just scold him. Sometimes when the Sanchari Bhava reaches its peak, she would want to sometimes beat Krishna also, purely out of love. So, but he was Hitaishini. She wanted to benefit Krishna. This is the usual habit of a mother towards her son, so it is not unjust. Krishna's eyes were filled with fear, but this fear is an ornament of the Lord caused by prema. It is not a fault. Generally, fear is caused due to mode of ignorance. But Krishna's fear is born out of love, prema, like that. So Mother Yashoda chastises Krishna to open his mouth. Kasman mridam adantatman bhavan bakshitavan rahah vadanti tavakashyete kumaraste grajopyayam. Kasmad bhavan adantatman. Danta means peaceful. Adanta means restless. Atman means mind. Atma means mind. Atman means possessing a mind. Adantatman means possessing a restless mind. Kasmad bhavan adantatman. Why are you so restless, Krishna? Madam, sorry, it must be mridam actually. Mridam. Mridam bhakshitavan rahah. Why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt in a solitary place? अयम वदन्ति तावका ही एते कुमारः एंड दोस हैव कंप्लेंट अगेंस्ट यू आर योर ओन फ्रेंड्स, ते अग्रजाः अपि इवन योर एल्डर ब्रदर बलराम हैज रिपोर्टेड अगेंस्ट यू, हाउ इज दिस, व्हाई आर यू सो रेस्टलेस, दैट यू हैव ईटन डर्ट, योर ओन फ्रेंड्स इंक्लूडिंग बलराम हैव रिपोर्टेड दिस, यशोदा सेड, ओ वन विथ रेस्टलेस बॉडी एंड माइंड अदांतात्मन, बिकॉज आत्मा कैन रेफर टू बॉडी एंड आत्मा कैन रेफर टू माइंड ऑल्सो, सो डिड यू ईट डर्ट, डिड यू नॉट गेट स्वीट्स इन माई हाउस and not in my presence, but stealthily you have done it. Your friends are saying this, so it cannot be false. Your friends are saying it cannot be false. I am cooking so much, so many sweets for you and other, you know, savories and other such things for you. Why do you have to go and eat dirt? And your own friends are saying, they can't be false if everyone is saying. Even Balramji is telling. He will not lie. You cannot say that they are speaking against you because they want me to beat you. Because even Baldev is saying this. Krishna may say, no, 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 I didn't eat. They are just lying to you because they want you to beat me and they want to see you beat me. But because even Baldev is saying this, Baldev does not want you to get beating from me. And he is standing right here saying this. There is no doubt about it. It's not that he stealthily came and reported. He's standing right here, right in front of you, he is reporting. That cannot be wrong. Krishna replies, Naham bakshita vanamba. सर्वे मिथ्याभि शंशिनः यदि सत्यगिरस्तर्हि समक्षं पश्य मे मुखम्. He says, Amba, my dear mother, na aham bakshitavan. I didn't eat dirt. Sarve mithya abhi shamshinaha. All of them are speaking lies, complaining against me. Yadi satyagiraha. But still, if you are not convinced, if you think what they are speaking is truth, tarhi, then, samaksham pashyame mukham, just look into my mouth and see for yourself. I didn't eat dirt. All of them are speaking lies. Just look into my mouth and see for yourself. Krishna said, I did not eat dirt. Someone may say, oh, to tell a lie for fear of being beaten is natural for a child and it nourishes the Vatsalya Bhava or parental affection. So, when a child, when he has done a mistake, I mean, of course, he should be a child. If he grows up beyond that balyavastha and starts telling lies, then it no longer nourishes Vatsalya rasa. It becomes, you know, it nourishes some other rasa, maybe Raudra rasa, you know. So when a child, due to the fear of being beaten, if he is telling a lie, it actually nourishes the parental affection, Vatsalya Bhav. Vatsalya and other rasas spring from prema, and prema rests within a devotee's heart. It arises in the devotee because of Krishna's inherent affection for his devotees. There is Bhakta Vatsalya in the heart of Krishna for his devotees. And because of that, the devotees develop prema towards Krishna. The Lord's quality of Bhakta Vatsalya is greater than any of his other spiritual qualities, such as purity, mercy, or truthfulness. So, here, someone may say that if Krishna is the absolute truth, at least he should speak basic truth. So, why should Krishna lie? See, actually, this is where we have to understand that in past times, this is true with everything, actually. And this comes with spiritual maturity. So, Krishna is omniscient. It means Krishna is capable of exercising his omniscience anytime. But this does not mean Krishna always utilizes his omniscience. No, this is not needed. Like, for example, like we were discussing this last session also. When Krishna meets Gopakumar, or when Lord Narayana meets Gopakumar in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayana embraces, Gopakumar, and he says, "Where have you been? Every single lifetime birth that you would take, I would think and I would hope, okay, in this lifetime you will turn towards me and come to me. Oh, in this lifetime you will turn towards me and come to me. Oh, in this lifetime you will turn towards me and come to me." In this way, in this joy of anxiety, I would dance. But you never came. So now the question is Krishna omniscient or not? Doesn't Krishna know that Gopakumar will not come back to him in this lifetime? Why is Krishna speaking like this? Yes, Krishna can know, but he chooses not to know because he wants to experience the emotion of eagerness to meet with his own with his own devotee. He wants to experience the emotion of astonishment at seeing in seeing a long lost friend. Why should Krishna's omniscience come in between, become an obstacle in his experiencing these wonderful emotions? Yes, Krishna is omniscient. Omniscient. If he wants, he can know everything. And there is a use for that omniscience also, like we saw in the case of Putana entering into Vraja. While everyone thought, oh, she must be Mother Lakshmi, she must be some celestial damsel who has come here to bless Krishna, like that. But here Krishna's omniscience came to his service. "My dear master, this is Putana. Putana Bhala Gatini. She is the killer of children." So whenever particular prowess or potencies of the Lord are needed, they come and serve the Lord. But that does not mean Krishna always. So there is a need for Krishna to express, to experience that eagerness. And that astonishment at seeing Gopakumar in Vaikuntha. Therefore, there is no need for omniscience there. So, everyone is a servant, but not all servants need to come at the same time and keep disturbing the master. "Oh, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you?" Only when there is a need, each servant comes to perform their job. So in this particular case, Krishna ideally should speak the truth. He is the absolute truth. But Krishna's Bhakta Vatsalya is the crest jewel of all the other qualities that he has. So if he decides to give pleasure to his devotees, then everything else takes a back seat. If speaking truth will come, will become an obstacle to give perfect pleasure to his devotees, Krishna will compromise it. Krishna will say, "Oh no, 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 I didn't eat the dirt." Because he knows that experience of fear, out of fear, when the small child tells a lie to his parents, observing that gives great experience of Vatsalya Rasa in their hearts, that joy. Krishna does not want to deprive Mother Yashoda of that joy. So one who does not understand the details of this rasa, those who do not appreciate this rasa, they may say, "Oh, what, you are calling this boy the absolute truth when he is speaking an absolute lie? How can a person speaking an absolute lie be the absolute truth?" Someone may say. So we say, "You just don't understand what is the meaning of absolute truth. In telling a lie, he is giving absolute joy to his mother. Because the crest jewel of all the qualities that Krishna has, like his purity, mercy, truthfulness, etc., the crest jewel of all the qualities is actually is Bhakta Vatsalya. His deep desire to give the perfect experience of joy and pleasure to his devotees. He would sacrifice anything to accomplish it. Everything else takes his omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence. Everything takes a back seat. So if Krishna could crush Trinavarta by his weight, in order to win kabaddi or wrestling or something like that, Krishna could utilize that potency to defeat his friends. But Krishna would not do it. Why? Is Krishna not omnipotent? He is. But his Bhakta Vatsalyata is the crest jewel which guides all the other. It is the Angi. All the others are Anga. They all will serve that Bhakta Vatsalyata. So similarly, for us as devotees also, this is very important, that even though there are so many principles which are very critical, which needs to be applied in our life, but we will be faced with circumstances where we may have to actually sacrifice one of the principles to uphold another principle. So this is where we either need to be devotionally mature, or we need devotionally mature guidance to know which principle to sacrifice and which principle to uphold. What is the hierarchy? What can be sacrificed at what cost? What principle can never be sacrificed at any cost? That needs some devotional maturity or some mature guidance. Like say, for example, I think the other day I shared, once it was Ekadashi, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sasi Thakur was taking rounds in his Gaudiya Mutt, and it was afternoon time, and he saw some of his brahmacharis taking rest. And he came and asked, "What is this? Why are you sleeping?" And they told, "Prabhupada, today is Ekadashi, we are fasting, so we are tired." And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur did not tell anything. He said, "Okay." He very silently went to the kitchen. He took some rice. He took some mung dal. He took some vegetables. He personally made some khichdi for them and made them eat that rice, mung dal, khichdi on the day of Ekadashi. And he said, "Now eat this and go out and preach." Not that he is recommending his disciples to not follow Ekadashi. That is not what he is communicating. He is communicating, and what he is trying to communicate is, understand what are non-negotiable principles and what are negotiable principles. And understand under what circumstances what can be negotiated and what can never be negotiated. The ultimate purpose is preaching is the essence. If you are going to fast and sleep on an Ekadashi, you better eat and preach. That is the principle. So therefore, ideally, one should either be mature, or they should understand, or they should take mature guidance. So, and Krishna also same thing. Krishna is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. But Krishna he does not utilize the service of all these energies when it is not needed. Ultimately, the chief servant of Krishna is his Bhakta Vatsalya Shakti. When Bhakta Vatsalyata Shakti says, omniscience, there is a need for your service, then omniscience comes. "Yes, sir. Because the life of other children is at stake." So omniscience says, "Okay, how can you serve Krishna?" So omniscience says, "Oh Krishna, this is Putana. She is a Balagati. She is a killer of children. She has come in disguise." Krishna says, "Okay, thank you." Okay. So because Bhakta Vatsalyata Shakti thinks that, oh, here omniscience might be useful because Krishna should know. And Satyavak Shakti, always speaking the truth. Bhakta Vatsalyata feels, "No, your service is not needed right now. Did you eat dirt?" Krishna says, "No, no, 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 I didn't eat. I didn't eat out of fear." He speaks like this, he speaks a lie. So now, someone may want to say, "Oh, how can the absolute truth speak an absolute lie?" This means he is not the absolute truth. So we say, "Okay, thank you very much." But we do understand. So therefore, he says, this is a beautiful purport here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes here. He says, Krishna said, "I did not eat dirt. To tell a lie for fear of being beaten is natural for a child, and it nourishes the Vatsalya Bhav, or parental affection." When a small child is telling an obvious lie, you know, when they themselves have seen him do it, but because the child was so absorbed in doing that prank that he did not notice his parents seeing. So when they ask, "Did you do it?" When he tells a lie out of fear of being chastised or beaten, you know, they feel very amused, and it nourishes their Vatsalya Bhav. So Vatsalya and other rasas spring from prema, and prema rests within a devotee's heart. And it arises in the devotee's heart because of Krishna's inherent affection for his devotees, Bhakta Vatsalyata. So this large quality of Bhakta Vatsalya is greater than any of his other spiritual qualities, such as purity, mercy, or truthfulness. As Krishna's telling a lie springs from his Bhakta Vatsalya, it is not a fault. Rather, it is the crown jewel of all qualities. So, because in order to show his Bhakta Vatsalyata, it was needed for him to tell a lie. Because that's what would give the perfect relish for his mother. So why? So at no cost, Krishna wants to compromise. At no cost, Krishna wants to compromise on that perfect experience. Compromise on giving that perfect experience of joy to his mother. So if it has to come at the cost of his telling a lie, so be it. This is Krishna. This is his hierarchy. This is his priority. And this is what he chooses to do. Like that. Okay, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add. There is one question in the chat box. If we understand the highest spiritual truth to be Krishna's reciprocation of the ecstatic prema of the devotee by invoking the suitable dasa in their heart, then we can appreciate that this is not a lie but the highest truth. If Krishna is constrained by his other qualities, this cannot happen. Yeah, this is true. So we have to see what is Krishna's priority. This is actually what is Vraja Krishna's priority, especially. His topmost priority is to give joy to his devotees. He will compromise everything for that. Of course, as the supreme absolute truth, he need not compromise anything to give that absolute joy. But in making that compromise, Krishna is communicating, for me everything is secondary. What is primary is to give joy to you. So, like for example, if someone is going in a train, okay, and the train is passing through, I mean, this is a very practical, relatable example for all the devotees. If the train is passing through, let's say a particular station in which your friend is there, and you have requested your friend, "Arey, thoda prasad mil sakta hai kya station mein?" So he says, "Yeah, absolutely. Just tell me what you want." And he can send it across through his servant. He can send it across to his servant. But he may take half a day leave, or he may take 1 hour permission from his office to personally come and deliver it to you in the station. See, what do you want? All you want is some prasadam so that you don't have to eat some non-prasadam during your journey. So the friend could have sent across the prasadam through his servant. But he chooses to come and deliver it personally. Why? Because he wants to communicate, for me, your joy is of prime importance. Even though I could have sent it across through my servant, but I will not delegate it. Why will I delegate it? I wish to personally deliver it to you. It's a great privilege for me. It's a great joy. It gives me great joy. So what if I take half a day leave for this? You are my priority. This is what Krishna communicates. Yes, I don't have to necessarily speak. I don't have to necessarily speak a lie to give you that joy. But by speaking a lie, you know what Krishna is communicating? That I am willing to sacrifice anything for pleasing my devotee, even though as the Supreme Lord, He need not sacrifice anything to please his devotee. He can give the perfect pleasure without. So, can't Krishna give the exact same joy to Mother Yashoda by not speaking a lie? He can. He can. But he does not. This is actually the crest jewel. This is actually the, for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this is the defining quality, especially for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, this is the defining quality of the absolute truth. For Krishna to defeat Bhishma Dev and protect Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was not difficult. It's not at all difficult. He need not have picked up that that wheel of a chariot, and he need not have charged towards Bhishma Dev. But he did it because he understood that. Because he understood that Bhishma Dev wanted to see that somehow Krishna can go to any extent to protect his dear friend Arjuna. He wanted to see that. So Krishna did not want to deprive Bhishma Dev of seeing that, look, I will go to the extent of breaking my own vow to protect Arjuna. Even though for Krishna, he need not break his vow to protect Arjuna. But when Bhishma Dev sees, wow, Krishna is willing to break his vow to protect his own friend, Arjuna. This gives him great joy. Why deprive Bhishma Dev of that joy? So the absolute truth, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamities thou hast removed. This one statement that Srila Prabhupada wrote glorifying Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, actually, to understand this is actually a lifetime's endeavor. I mean, it's not even endeavor. It's a lifetime's mercy and endeavor. Of course, two fingers too short. Absolute is sentient, you know. So, sentient does not just mean that if a thorn pricks your feet, you immediately notice it. That is bare minimum. That is the beginning of being sentient. Sentient means full of all possible emotions. So, Krishna is not just a sentient being. It is not actually, in one sense, a great glorification of Krishna to say that Krishna is sentient. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam. Actually, he is Akila Rasamrita Murti. He is an ocean of all transcendental rasa. He is not just sentient. So these episodes, Krishna is speaking a lie here. The absolute truth is speaking an absolute lie. This is the crest jewel of Krishna being sentient actually. And that's what our acharyas are revealing. So there are multiple layers of hidden meaning. If we try to understand what Srila Prabhupada really wrote, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamities, he calls it calamities, thou hast removed. Kaivalya nistarakau. So, it is a great disservice to remove this personality from Krishna. It is a calamity. Impersonal calamities thou hast removed. Okay. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next week. So today is Thursday, and we meet for our 10th Canto discussions on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We will meet again next Tuesday to continue this wonderful episode further. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.